Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And check out our latest 10-question census quiz. For this round, they are all questions about the demography of New York City. It begins with the question, which borough of New York City is expected to grow the fastest in the next 10 years? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show for our 10 questions that count census quiz. And we are putting together some open source census quizzes for the next few months. So while you're at our website, you can also suggest a census quiz question that pertains to your neighborhood at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And now we begin our coverage of President Obama's bank reform speech here in Lower Manhattan. It is scheduled to begin at 11:55. And at the top of the hour, you will have a choice. Continue to listen to WNYC for the Leonard Lopate Show as usual on the radio, or listen to the president's address online at WNYC.org. We will be streaming it live. And also at that time, I will be hosting a live chat simultaneously to the speech. You can join the live chat at WNYC.org. My guest for that chat, or really my partner for that chat, you will all be partners for that chat and guests. And for right now on the air, to preview the president's speech, is Heidi Moore, financial journalist and contributor to The Big Money on Slate.com. Hi, Heidi. Thanks for doing this with us on air and online.
A pleasure to be here. Thank you.
We have some speech excerpts already. I presume you've seen these too. For example, the president will say, a free market was never meant to be a free license to take whatever you can get, however you can get it. What does he hope to accomplish for the bank reform legislation by coming here to Cooper Union, to Lower Manhattan, just a mile north of Wall Street?
That's a good question. I think what he's really looking for at long last is some cooperation from Wall Street. I think what's remarkable about this speech is the change in tone from the White House's previous communications with Wall Street. He's taking a much gentler tone. He's going to say, some of you may employ these lobbyists that I'm criticizing, as if there are any freelance lobbyists. There are not. And all in all, he really just wants to get people on board, because the long political pitched battle on health care, I think, was a very instructive example for the White House in what not to do in terms of getting buy-in from the people that they're trying to regulate.
Interesting. And there is apparently some movement now toward Republicans signing on to the Christopher Dodd bank reform bill. Is a new compromise version of this bill actually in the works?
It sounds like it, if only because Robert Corker said he was depressed and he's working on the other side.
Senator Corker, Republican from Tennessee.
Exactly.
And he was in, but didn't somebody vote, didn't they get a Republican vote in committee that was indicative of the possibility? And Mitch McConnell is starting to sound more conciliatory. And I don't know if he's just playing rope-a-dope to say that we should be able to get some kind of compromise version, and then whatever the Democrats try to do, he'll say, well, they weren't willing to compromise, and try to use it politically. I'm just trying to gauge how genuine you think this is.
I think it is genuine only because there is no other option. I mean, another battle is incredibly damaging. There are midterm elections coming up, and if Republicans look like they're against Wall Street reform in a year like this, especially with the Goldman Sachs case that just came out, it's going to look very bad for them. And I think what they needed was the classic Sun Tzu art of war. They just needed their back not to be against the wall. They needed a dignity out, and that's what they have now.
And do you think there's really any hope when you say that he's going to take a different approach than he did in the healthcare debate, a softer approach, softer tone today in what the Daily News headline is calling the belly of the beast, meaning he's coming right to Wall Street. So there's that kind of, you know, media narrative of confrontation being developed. But if he comes and sets a soft tone, I mean, it's a little hard for me to imagine that this is going to make Lloyd Blankfein or Jamie Dimon or any of those guys say, okay, that's fine. You know, stop my party, regulate my derivatives, or any of the other things.
they still won't like it. You're absolutely right. And nor is he really on Wall Street. I mean, Cooper Union is about a mile away.
It's the East Village.
Exactly.
Whole different culture from Wall Street.
Right. And perhaps more apt for the message that he's getting across. I think you're right. Nothing is really going to make people happy with some of the requirements in this legislation, particularly the more radical one on derivatives, which is a huge profit center for Wall Street. And the reform one, it's a subject that's very hard to get the public to care about, but banks care about it very much. But what radicalized the banks against the administration and has caused them to be defiant in everything from lending to public rhetoric is the way that the White House has demonized capitalism and has made the people who look on Wall Street, who work on Wall Street, look evil. And that goes, if you believe that ego runs Wall Street, you really don't want to strike at that ego because ultimately they pull the levers of the financial system.
And listeners, you want to get in real quick? We just have a few minutes if the president starts on time. Of course, the president almost never starts on time, but you never know. In this case, he might. To say what you want to hear in this speech, or we've been covering this every day on the program this week and trying to go into detail about aspects of the bill and trying to explain a lot of the details from different points of view. So anything you are coming to, perhaps that's new for you this week, or anything else that you want to say about the health reform legislation making its way through Congress, or what you hope to hear from the president today in tone or in words. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And again, when we finish up here at noon, Heidi Moore from Slate's The Big Money, who's my guest, and I are going to co-host a live online chat, which any of you can join as the president is speaking to have that simultaneous conversation. We're learning a couple of things. They released a guest list. Lloyd Blankfein, CEO of Goldman Sachs, is going to be in the audience. Not Jamie Dimon, though. He's not on the list. Let's see. And just to clarify what I said before, it was Charles Grassley, the Republican from Iowa, who voted for the derivatives regulation bill, which was making its way through the Agriculture Committee. That was not the Dodd bill per se. But interesting to me, too, is that these bills are getting criticized from left and right alike. The left echoes Mitch McConnell in a way in saying that the bill does not end the threat of future bailouts. Mm-hmm. Then you have on the other side free market conservative Nicole Gelinas from the Manhattan Institute writing in the New York Post today that derivatives need to be put on transparent exchanges like the stock exchanges, and borrowing of all kinds needs to be limited by a high percentage of cash reserve rule for banks as well as for individuals, she says, but that those things aren't really in the bill. So is this bill just full of loopholes that will render it mostly symbolism?
There is some of that, and there is a little bit of hypocrisy because the Fed is actually the least well-capitalized bank in the entire United States. If you put the Fed through a stress test right now, it would fail. So what these loopholes do actually is kind of obscure the issue of what really caused the financial crisis and how we can prevent it in the future. Derivatives regulation or putting derivatives on exchanges may not necessarily help because derivatives are like suits. They are tailored to each individual company. And when you put them on an exchange, it makes them look like they're plain vanilla. They become harder to deal with. So that's one of the problems with derivatives.
And guess what? The president is starting not on time, but 5 minutes early. Let's listen
in.
Who
knew?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Everybody, please have a seat. Thank you very much. Well, thank you. It is good to be back. It is good to be back in New York. It is good to be back in the Great Hall at Cooper Union. We've got some special guests here that I want to acknowledge. Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney is here in the House. Governor David Patterson is here. Attorney General Andrew Cuomo. State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli is here. Uh, the mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg. Dr. George Campbell, Jr., president of Cooper Union. And all the citywide elected officials who are here, thank you very much for your attendance. It is wonderful to be back in Cooper Union, where generations of leaders and citizens have come to defend their ideas and contest their differences. It's also good to be back in Lower Manhattan, a few blocks from Wall Street. It really is good to be back. Because Wall Street's the heart of our nation's financial sector. Now, since I last spoke here 2 years ago, our country has been through a terrible trial. More than 8 million people have lost their jobs. Countless small businesses have had to shut their doors. Trillions of dollars in savings have been lost, forcing seniors to put off retirement, young people to postpone college, entrepreneurs to give up on the dream of starting a company. And as a nation, we were forced to take unprecedented steps to rescue the financial system and the broader economy. And as a result of the decisions we made, some of which, let's face it, were very unpopular, we are seeing hopeful signs. A little more than 1 year ago, we were losing an average of 750,000 jobs each month. Today, America is adding jobs again. 1 year ago, the economy was shrinking rapidly. Today, the economy is growing. In fact, we've seen the fastest turnaround in growth in nearly three decades. But you're here and I'm here because we've got more work to do. Until this progress is felt not just on Wall Street, but on Main Street, we can't be satisfied. Until the millions of our neighbors who are looking for work can find a job and wages are growing at a meaningful pace, we may be able to claim a technical recovery, but we will not have truly recovered. And even as we seek to revive this economy, it's also incumbent on us to rebuild it stronger than before. We don't want an economy that has the same weaknesses that led to this crisis, and that means addressing some of the underlying problems that led to this turmoil and devastation in the first place. Now, one of the most significant contributors to this recession was a financial crisis as dire as any we've known in generations, at least since the 30s. And that crisis was born of a failure of responsibility from Wall Street all the way to Washington that brought down many of the world's largest financial firms and nearly dragged our economy into a second Great Depression. It was that failure of responsibility that I spoke about when I came to New York more than 2 years ago, before the worst of the crisis had unfolded. It was back in 2007, and I take no satisfaction in noting that my comments then have largely been borne out by the events that follow. But I repeat what I said then because it is essential that we learn the lessons from this crisis so we don't doom ourselves to repeat it. And make no mistake, that is exactly what will happen if we allow this moment to pass. And that's an outcome that is unacceptable to me, and it's unacceptable to you, the American people. As I said on this stage 2 years ago, I believe in the power of the free market. I believe in a strong financial sector that helps people to raise capital and get loans and invest their savings. That's part of what has made America what it is. But a free market was never meant to be a free license to take whatever you can get, however you can get it. That's what happened too often in the years leading up to this crisis. Some, and let me be clear, not all, but some on Wall Street forgot that behind every dollar traded or leveraged, there's a family looking to buy a house or pay for an education, open a business, save for retirement. What happens on Wall Street has real consequences across the country, across our economy. I've also spoken before about the need to build a new foundation for economic growth in the 21st century. And given the importance of the financial sector, Wall Street reform is an absolutely essential part of that foundation. Without it, our house will continue to sit on shifting sands, and our families, businesses, and the global economy will be vulnerable to future crises. That's why I feel so strongly that we need to enact a set of updated, common sense rules to ensure accountability on Wall Street and to protect consumers in our financial system.
President Obama speaking live right now at Cooper Union, and now we offer you a choice. You can listen to the Leonard Lopate Show, as usual, on the radio, or continue to listen to President Obama's Wall Street speech live on our website at WNYC.org. And you can join our live online chat. I am actually hosting that chat already with Heidi Moore from Slate, right on our website, WNYC.org, or again, just stay right here on WNYC Radio and listen to Leonard Lopate. Or if you're really the ultimate multitasker, you can do both. But again, the president's speech, streaming live on our website, WNYC.org. Leonard Lopate coming up right here, right now on WNYC Radio, and Heidi Moore and I hosting a live chat simultaneous to the president's speech at WNYC.org. I'm Brian Lehrer.